The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But it is, as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." The Gospel of the Lord.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for your presence in Scripture, your testimony of true kingship. On this day, as we remember your kingship over all peoples that is gentle, humble, and lowly, we ask that your Spirit would be here among us and fill us with your presence this day. Amen. Please be seated. This morning, we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday in the church year before we start the year all over again next week with the first Sunday of Advent. Talking about Jesus as a king is not something that all people find comfortable. There are those who dislike the use of any references to God as king or lord, because humans bearing these titles are not always very good at ruling one another justly and fairly. Our difficulty with the just use of power is reflected in the Hebrew Scriptures and is the reason that God warns the Israelites when they request a king for themselves. God warns them that kings may misuse the power that they are given. But the people don't listen and demand a king all the more. So God grants them their request, and Saul is anointed the first king of Israel. This begins the long tradition of kings over Israel who struggle to varying degrees of success, to balance the welfare of the people and the will of God with their own desire for power and control. By the time Jesus is living, there are no kings left in Israel. The last king of Israel fell to the Assyrians in 720 BCE, and the last king of Judah to the Babylonians in 586 BCE. After which point, the people of Israel were ruled by a series of external powers, leading eventually to the Roman occupation at the time of Jesus. During the period in which Jesus lived, it was the Roman emperor who controlled and occupied nearly all of the Mediterranean world. The Romans did not tolerate dissent too kindly. And so an accusation of sedition from a so-called king of the Jews would not have been taken lightly. The title king of the Jews was not something Jesus ever called himself, but something the Jewish leaders called him. Jesus' teaching was a threat to their authority, and giving him the title of king was a clever move. It turned Jesus into a threat that they could hand off to the Romans, who would deal with the problem quickly and efficiently. Which is why Jesus stands on trial before Pilate, the local representative of Roman power. Jesus is careful never to claim the title King of the Jews for himself, and yet he also never denies it. He says that his kingdom is not of this world. This kingdom is not what we expect it to be. It's something altogether different from how we typically think of a kingdom. In fact, the origins of the feast day we celebrate today, Christ the King Sunday, point to this contrast between the way the world thinks of kings and kingdoms and the kind of king that Christ is for us. Pope Pius XI established Christ the King Sunday in 1925 to counter the destructive forces of fascism that were spreading in Italy at the time. Mussolini had marched on Rome in 1922 and had been named Prime Minister of Italy. And around him in Rome, Pius XI could see where these kinds of totalitarian claims were leading. His assertion of Christ as king still echoes through the celebration we have today of power and glory that overcomes the powers of this world. Reflected in the liturgy of victory, the brilliant gold on the altar, and yes, I'm wearing my gold shoes. Of course, that's not actually the kind of king that Jesus was. Matching might with might was never really his style. Next week, we will celebrate the beginning of Advent, the season in which we remember the humility of Christ's birth, the helpless form in which an all-powerful God chose to come to earth, whose earthly ministry was spent not among the powerful, but among the outcast and the poor, who died a criminal's death. Jesus was constantly getting himself into trouble with the religious authorities because of his extension of love and mercy to those who were not within the religious in-group. They were shocked by this man who put his care for others above the rules of religion. He healed on the Sabbath. He dined with sinners. He received those who had been cast out. It's the opposite of a king who consolidates power through exclusion. Jesus talked about the kingdom throughout his ministry, proclaimed that the kingdom is among you already, most often among crowds of people desperately in need of some good news. And the good news of God's kingdom was among them, is among us all along. There's a verse in Revelation that proclaims that Jesus, through his love and saving work, made us to be a kingdom. We are that kingdom. It's not a physical place. It's a kingdom of the people whom Jesus has loved and forgiven. A kingdom does not describe only a geographic location, though the word can be used that way. But more often, it describes the people who make up some unit or group. Think of how the word is used in the field of biology. A kingdom is a level of classification, like genus or species. When we talk about the animal kingdom, we're not talking about a place, but the group of animals who belong to it. Could we allow ourselves to think about the kingdom of God this same way? Not trying to imagine some place in the sky where it exists, but recognizing it here, now, this very minute, among us, because we are its citizens. Revelation tells us that Jesus made us into the kingdom of God by his love and his forgiveness of our sins. We didn't make ourselves into this kingdom. It's God's work alone. We belong because of the invitation that Jesus extended. We belong to a kingdom whose citizenship is defined by God alone, the God who made us and saved us and sustains us each day. And if we claim our citizenship in this kingdom, we can't ignore the fact that we are surrounded by billions of other people whom God has created and nurtured and forgiven. This turn toward one another is an inescapable part of life in the kingdom of God. If we are here because we are loved and forgiven, then all of our neighbors in this kingdom are equally beloved and forgiven. If we really believe the truth of Christ, then we must recognize this fact about one another, even those people who don't yet know it about themselves. This is the challenge in the truth that Jesus brings into the world. When we experience love and mercy, we can't ignore the need to extend the same to others. This is the reason that now, as we look around to all that is happening in the world around us, we cannot remain unmoved by the suffering of others. This kingdom is not divided by national or cultural or religious or political boundaries. If we believe that God created all people, can we claim that there are those that God does not love? Those to whom God will not show mercy? Will we not do the same? Even as Jesus stood on trial, he offered the truth to the one who heard his voice, the one who would soon sentence him to death. Those who belong to the truth hear my voice. You who hear my voice belongs to the truth. I believe that even in this exchange, there's an invitation. Jesus stood in the presence of Pilate, the symbol of Rome, the greatest power on earth, and in this moment he revealed yet again the truth of forgiveness and love. Revealed another source of power that would soon prove to be so much greater than the power of Rome when he rose again from the tomb they tried to keep him in. A king. Triumphant. Jesus is our King. He welcomes us to be a part of his kingdom. If Jesus can extend this invitation even to the man who would send him to his death, who might you be called to welcome to the kingdom in his name, to love and forgive as he did? Amen.